Well, good morning, church. It is good to be together. Good to see you today. I'm glad we get to worship and spend time in God's Word together this morning. And as the season is changing and we're moving a little closer to Thanksgiving, and then of course Christmas is on the way. Well, we're also getting a little deeper into our series this morning, The Season of Giving. If you were with us last Sunday, you'll recall that we just kind of launched into the fundamentals of generous giving to the work of the Lord. And we looked at why we give. We looked at how we give and where we give. And then we just kind of let the Word of God wash over us as we read through 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, the longest passage we have in Scripture that deals specifically with our giving. It was Giving 101 last week. And remember, our goal in the series is not to assault anyone with guilt or with shame or manipulation. No, we just want to answer the question, what does the Bible say about our giving? And one thing we learned from Scripture last Sunday, we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, that God delights in us when we delight in giving to Him. And so today we're going to go a little deeper into this truth and this topic of generous giving to the work of gospel ministry through the Lord's church. And remember, we give to the work of the gospel because it's the only thing that can truly transform this world. The message of salvation in Jesus Christ is what people need more than anything else. To know that there is hope because Jesus laid down His life for our sins. He rose again by His own power. By His sacrificial death, He made a way that we can be forgiven, saved from sin, and have eternal life in Him. This is the message that the church proclaims in the gospel. And so this morning, as we think about giving once again, we're going to start back in the Old Testament today. We'll be in the book of 1 Chronicles, and you go ahead and turn there to chapter 29. It gives us a vibrant example of delightful giving, and that, in fact, is our title this morning, Delightful Giving. Now, as you're turning there, again, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and let me just take a moment to give you a very brief kind of bit of context for what we're going to read about. And so this was nearing the end of King David's life, and the great longing of his heart was that he wanted to build a permanent structure that would house the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, that's that golden box that maybe you've seen in an old Indiana Jones movie, okay? That's what we're talking about. It was a real thing, and it represented the very presence of God among His people. David wanted to build a glorious temple for the ark to reside in, a temple to the Lord, and God to that said, no, you're not going to do it. In fact, God told David that it would be his son Solomon who would build the temple in Jerusalem. David's role in this was to give of his resources for the temple's construction. He would also lead the people of Israel to participate in a special offering as they too gave of their resources to build the temple. And so the culmination of that special offering is the occasion and the context as we begin reading in chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles. And David the king said to all the assembly, Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great. For the palace, that's a reference to the temple, will not be for man, but for the Lord God. So I have provided for the house of my God, so far as I was able, the gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, besides great quantities of onyx and stones for setting, antimony, colored stones, all sorts of precious stones and marble. Moreover, in addition to all that I have provided for the holy house, I have a treasure of my own, of gold and silver. And because of my devotion to the house of my God, I give it to the house of my God. 3,000 talents of gold. A talent, by the way, is 75 pounds. Do the math. 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for overlaying the walls of the house, for all the work to be done by craftsmen, gold for the things of gold, and silver for the things of silver. Who then will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord? So we see in these verses here that David gave abundantly, I mean lavishly,
to honor the Lord in his giving to the Lord's house. And then David challenged the people of Israel to likewise give a willing, lavish offering to the Lord. And what we're going to see today is that this whole offering was an act of worship, and it was a gift that was simply bathed in delight. Author Jeff Anderson writes about giving that delights the heart of the Father in his strangely titled book, Plastic Donuts. That doesn't really sound like a book about giving, does it? But I assure you it is, and a sharply written one at that. I would highly recommend it. By now you've probably noticed, I know Mark and Kyle kind of played about the large donut we have on the platform this morning. I did not take that bite out of it. I'm just going to set the record straight, all right? You may have assumed that that was an oversight when you walked in and saw that, like, what is going on? Somebody forgot to clean out the worship center. No. I put that there myself. Yeah, I put that there myself. And it's a visual reminder for us today of giving that delights the heart of the Father, and that will make more sense shortly. By the way, this book, Plastic Donuts, is our featured resource for this week. We've given you on screen a QR code. It's in your ministry guide as well. If you'd like to pick up a copy for yourself, it's pretty inexpensive and similar to last week. We also have a few of these on hand, and we'll be happy to just give you one for free. See Kyle, one of our other ministers, in the foyer next to the fireplace right out here after the service. And if you're not able to pick one up for yourself, we'll be happy to share one with you. Now, in the book, Anderson explains how the plastic donuts illustration relates to our giving. And he tells of a time when his daughter was about 18 months old, so a toddler. Imagine your own kids when they were 18 months old, toddling, playing with her kitchen play set. He was on the couch busily working on his laptop, and his daughter just kind of bounced her way over to him on the couch and gave him, guess what? Y'all are sharp, all right. Plastic donuts from her play kitchen. Obviously not quite the size of this one we have on stage today, but you know, like most parents would, he just joined in with her pretend play, and boy, he just gushed with excitement. Oh, this is the best. Thank you for this donut, you know, and he just went over the top about it, and nothing out of the ordinary. That's what you do when you're playing with toddlers, right? But then her reaction to his excitement helped to crystallize some principles of giving to our Father. You see, as he made a big deal about how delicious the donut was, this sweet toddler just squealed with delight and excitement because she had brought delight to her father. And as you might expect, she repeated that act. She brought him plastic donuts over and over and over again, and he responded with joyous excitement over and over and over again, and she giggled and squealed with excitement over and over and over again. You keep that story in the back of your mind. We're going to come back to that here in just a bit. But first, there are some principles that we need to understand about this kind of delightful giving. And the first of those is that in giving that delights the heart of the Father, the amount matters. The amount matters. Now, I know that feels a little uncomfortable. We don't want that to be on screen right now, but this is the case. The amount matters. In fact, we'll kind of unpack that. Understand that not all gifts are the same. We see this even in Scripture. In Genesis chapter number 4, verse number 3 says, "In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel, his brother, also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell." Now, between Abel and Cain, the Lord saw their gifts very differently. He was not pleased with the gift that Cain brought, and we're not real sure why. Scripture doesn't quite illuminate that for us. There are some theological opinions and debates over why God didn't regard Cain's gift, but the point this morning is not to settle that debate. Our point simply is to recognize that not all gifts are the same. Some gifts are pleasing to the Lord and others are not. The Bible tells us about some other examples of gifts that were not acceptable to God, like in Matthew 23. Jesus noted, he was talking to the scribes and Pharisees, and he noted that they were tithing in strict adherence to the letter of the law, even down to the smallest of herbs like mint and cumin. And yet Jesus expressed that he was not pleased with their giving. Ananias and Sapphira is another example over in Acts chapter number 5. They sold a plot of land, like real estate. They sold for a substantial amount of money, and they brought some of the proceeds to the church to give to the Lord as an offering. And they said, well, you know, this was the full price. It wasn't the full price. They lied about it. And the Lord was displeased with their gift. And so not all gifts are pleasing to God. And if that's the case, what does the amount have to do with it? Well, we see a couple other examples that help us understand this, like in 2 Samuel chapter 24. And here we see David again. And God instructed David that he was to go to the threshing floor that belonged to Arauna the Jebusite. He's also known as Ornan the Jebusite, and that's easier to say, so I'm going to call him Ornan the Jebusite, all right? And God said, go to the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, take that or use that land and build an altar and offer an offering to me, a sacrifice. Well, David shows up at Ornan's threshing floor while he's out there threshing his wheat, and David explains to him, the Lord told me that I need to erect an altar here and give an offering to the Lord. And Ornan said, tell you what, take the land. You can have it. And you know what? Here are my oxen that I use. Just let them be the burnt offering. And here's the wood from my threshing instruments. Use my tools to be the wood for the fire. I give it all, is what Ornan said. But David responded and said, no, I'm going to buy it at its full value, because as you see in verse 24, he said, I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. That site that he purchased, by the way, became the site of the Jerusalem temple, the very one that we read about in our opening text this morning, where the Temple Mount is still today in Jerusalem. But David, in that exchange, showed that a pleasing offering to the Lord has to cost me something. We see another example as we're thinking about how the amount plays in Mark chapter number 12. And there, this is where Jesus and some of the disciples were, they were watching as people came and brought their offerings, their gifts, and put them in the offering box at the temple. And several put in out of their abundance, but here comes this poor widow, and she put in just two mites, which together would add up to less than what we would think of as a penny. I mean, just a minuscule financial amount. And yet Jesus said, as you may remember of her, Jesus said that she's given more than everyone else because she, out of her poverty, has put in everything that she had. And so you've got these gifts that varied dramatically in the amount, and yet they were both amounts that mattered because they mattered to the giver. That is, they represented a significant investment for the one who was giving the gift. And so whether we're talking about David purchasing land when he could have had it for free, or the widow putting just a minuscule amount in the offering, both David and the widow could feel the impact of their gift. It cost them something. And so when I say that the amount matters, that's what I mean. When it comes to our giving to God, it should cost us something. It should be something we can feel the impact of that. That's where the amount matters. It matters to the giver. If I'm just giving to God some pocket change that I'm not going to feel the impact of that, I'm not going to notice it, that's not a sacrificial gift. If you have a mortgage on your home, I'm guessing that monthly payment is something you feel every month. I know mine is. Like, that's an amount that matters to you, especially if you got that mortgage in the last couple years when interest rates have been really high and so have home prices. You're feeling that amount every month. It's an amount that matters to you. There's something else you could do with that money if it weren't going to a house payment or a car payment or an insurance payment or a student loan repayment, right? You get the idea. Our giving should be an amount that matters to us, like it was to David, like it was to the widow. Very different amounts, but amounts that mattered to the giver. Otherwise, if it's not an amount that really matters to you, it's probably not an amount that really matters to God. Perhaps he'll view those gifts as he did Cain's. He'll not regard it. It won't be pleasing to him. It won't delight his heart. After Cain brought that offering, his face fell, it said there in Genesis chapter 4. He was visibly angry and disappointed. Why? Because his gift did not delight the heart of God. Do your gifts delight his heart? As you think about that, a second important principle of giving that delights the Father's heart is this, that my ability matters. My ability matters. Remember, we saw this last week in 2 Corinthians 8, that if the readiness, if the willingness to give is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. In other words, Paul was saying we give according to our ability to give. It's right to honestly consider that question. What am I able to give? God's not asking us to give to his work above what we're able, but out of abundant love for the Lord, and sometimes by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, some folks do give more than they're really able. It becomes a true sacrifice on their part. We see the standard of ability throughout Scripture. We find it in the Old Testament, like in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 2 from our text this morning, where David said, I have provided for the house of my God so far as I was, what's the word? Able. Now, David had a lot more ability than you or me, I'm guessing, but he gave according to his ability. In Ezra chapter 2, we see another example. This was where they were rebuilding the temple much later. Some of the heads of families, when they came to the house of the Lord that is in Jerusalem, they made free will offerings for the house of God to erect it on its site according to their ability they gave to the treasury of the work. We see it also in the New Testament, in the early church, in Acts 11, 29. So the disciples determined everyone according to his ability to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. This was the same offering, by the way, that Paul wrote about in Philippians and 2 Corinthians that we have studied about recently. So consider your own ability to give. And as you do, recognize that there are at least four areas from which we have ability to give. There's ability to give from your income, for instance. You may remember from last week, 1 Corinthians 16, where Scripture instructs us to set aside a portion of God's blessings for giving to the work of the Lord. We all have ability to give if we have income. We can set aside a portion of that income as Scripture instructs. We also have ability from our possessions. You know, when the Israelites left Egypt after the 10th plague, Scripture says that they plundered the Egyptians. I mean, the Egyptians were basically just paying them, take our stuff, take our valuables, and just leave. Go, get out of our land. And so this nation of slaves walked out of Egypt on foot with a ridiculous abundance of wealth and possessions. And not long after, it came time to build the tabernacle, and it was from those possessions that God had allowed them to have. That's how they gave to build the place of worship. In Exodus chapter 35, you can read about that. And in a similar vein, you know, it's not unheard of for followers of Christ who feel prompted by the Spirit of God to give or sell their possessions to be able to give to the work of the kingdom. I'm talking sometimes like motorhomes or we've had, here at church, we've had donations of cars, rare gold coins, diamond jewelry. I'm not trying to plant ideas in anyone's mind. I'm just telling you that we have possessions that give us the ability to give. There's ability also from your blessings. You know, years ago in my own family's most difficult financial season that we've faced, I was unemployed for a year and then underemployed for another year after that. And things got real tight. But the Lord blessed us in some unique ways that allowed us to meet our financial needs and to continue giving to Him all along the way. I've told you before about this weird medical condition that I have. Well, back in those years of financial difficulty, there were no medications available to treat this condition. But I was able to participate in several clinical trials to bring medications to the market. And I was paid for my participation in those trials. Now, some of them were structured such that I only got paid when I got sick and had to be treated so they could test it. And so odd as it sounds, I know that sometimes the Lord's answer to our prayers, sometimes the Lord's unexpected blessings came in the form of sickness that allowed us to have some extra income and continue to financially invest in His kingdom. So pay attention to the sometimes strange, unexpected blessings of God that create some margin and give us the ability to be generous givers. 2 Corinthians 9:11, you remember, says, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. And then we have ability to give from our faith as well. I said last week, don't shy away from giving that stretches your faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So as we're thinking about giving that delights, that pleases the Lord, it's got to be given in faith. And so a sacrificial gift to the Lord that's given in faith because I'm just trusting that God is going to provide for my needs as I release these funds, that's a gift that delights the heart of the Father. So the amount matters. My ability matters. But notice also this morning, as we're talking about giving that delights the heart of the Father, my heart matters as well. The condition of my heart matters because if my heart's not right, my gift is not going to be pleasing unto the Lord. I'll bring up Ananias and Sapphira once again from Acts chapter 5. The issue there was not the amount. They brought a lavish amount to the Lord, but they were lying about it in pride, and the condition of their heart was such that God was not pleased. When it comes to giving, there are at least four things that are important with regard to the condition of your heart. And one of those, forgiveness. That sounds a little like that. Does that really connect to giving? Well, Jesus said it does. In Matthew chapter 5, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, Jesus said, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. I've got to have a heart of forgiveness and reconciliation if my gift is going to delight the heart of the Father. Another thing that should mark our hearts is obedience. Obedience. You can't walk in disobedience to the Lord, just open disobedience to His word and think that you can just write a check and everything's going to be okay. It doesn't work that way. In fact, in 1 Samuel 15, the prophet was speaking to King Saul and he said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Today we would use the term in our giving. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Your gift will not delight His heart if you're not obeying His word. We're to be about giving and living in obedience to Him. A couple other things that should mark our hearts: character. Remember, again, Matthew 23, where Jesus was displeased with the Pharisees and scribes because even though they were giving, it didn't align, their character did not align with their giving practices, their giving in obedience to the law. We've got to have godly character, and then a willingness should also mark our hearts. Remember again, 2 Corinthians 8:12, if the readiness, the willingness to give is there, then our giving is acceptable. In your giving to the Lord, the condition of your heart truly matters. In fact, back in Jeff Anderson's living room, as his sweet, innocent daughter brought him those plastic donuts, he recognized, this is a gift that is of inconsequential value to me, right? I mean, the dollar value on those donuts was nothing. But the happy father continued to play with his daughter because she was enjoying it so much. And in that repeated exchange of donuts and laughter, something clicked, and he recognized that he was enjoying the play because she was enjoying it. Now, track with me on this. The precious toddler was delighted to give her dad plastic donuts because her giving delighted the father. And her father delighted even more in her heart that wanted to give than he did in the inconsequential value of the gift itself. I hope you can see the application of that for us. The amount I give to the Lord, yes, it matters. It's got to be an amount that matters to me. But that value is inconsequential to the Lord. He owns everything. My ability to give matters as I recognize the many ways the Lord blesses me so that I have the ability to give. But my heart also matters. When I give to the Lord, not out of obligation, or not like I'm paying some tax that I reluctantly am releasing because I don't really want to pay it. No, when I give to the Lord willingly from a heart that just delights to delight Him, that's giving that delights the heart of the Father. And that's giving that in turn brings delight to my own heart as well. Giving like an innocent toddler, blindly trusting her father's provision. She wasn't worried about not having enough donuts for herself. She was just happily giving them away. because she found such abundant joy and delight in bringing delight to her father's heart. That's what our giving should look like. The image of a toddler bringing plastic donuts for her father to enjoy. And we get a glimpse of that kind of giving as we return to our text this morning in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Remember, David gave what is believed to be the most lavishly valued gift of all time. All those talents of gold and silver in that David exemplified the giving we're talking about. He said in verse 3, I have a treasure of my own. I give it to the house of my God. He gave an amount that mattered, a treasure. Verse 2, he said, I've provided for the house of my God so far as I was able. He gave according to his ability. And then in verse 3, he said that he gave because of my devotion to the house of my God. It was a matter of the heart. We left off with David's rallying challenge to the people of Israel. Who then will offer willingly today to the Lord? Verse 6 says, then the leaders of fathers' houses made their freewill offerings, as did also the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and the officers over the king's work. This is a whole lot of people participating in this offering. They gave for the service of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord. And so these were amounts that mattered. They gave even of their possessions in the care of Jehiel the Gershonite. Verse 9, then the people rejoiced. That's delight. The people rejoiced because they had given willingly. For with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced greatly. There was delight in giving a gift that would delight the heart of the Father. We continue. Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. David said, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you. You rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and we praise your glorious name. So what we see here is that worship and thanksgiving and praise accompany delightful giving. But who am I, he said in verse 14, and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given to you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided, it was an amount that mattered. For building you a house for your holy name, it comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart. It was a matter of the heart as well. And you have pleasure or delight in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. There was delight in giving because giving that delights the heart of God is giving that delights our hearts as well. So I ask today the same question David asked the people of Israel all those years ago. Who then will offer willingly today to the Lord? Who will offer willingly this month to the Lord? Church, in 2 weeks, we are collecting a special thank offering, a gift of just abundant praise and thanksgiving to our God beyond even our regular giving. And I hope that you'll pray about how you can be a part of that thank offering, how you can delightfully give a gift that delights the heart of God. I don't know what your individual giving to the Lord looks like, but in honesty before Him today, would you just consider these questions? Am I giving an amount that really matters to me? Am I giving what I'm really able to give, or have I minimized my gift? Am I giving from a heart of obedience and delight in the Lord? Am I just writing a check, charging a credit card? Or am I bringing something like plastic donuts, a gift that delights the heart of the Father as I delight in him. Let's pray. Thank you, our God, for your word this morning that once again brings conviction, I know, to my own heart. And Lord, you may choose to do that in others as well. The Spirit of God, our invitation to you this morning, our prayer, is that you will just move freely among us, among hearts that are surrendered and humbled to your truth and to your word, and that we would say, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Reveal to me how this truth of your word applies in my own heart, in my own finances, in my own giving. God, would you be delighted today as your people delight in you, even in our giving? We pray for your great pleasure in the time that we spend worshiping you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.